Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is always a treat to have University of Mary Washington Athletic Director Ken Tyler in studio with us. He is here with us this morning. Ken Boyce, good to see you. Good morning.
Good morning, Ted. Thanks for having me as always. I always appreciate the opportunity.
It is great to talk about UMW athletics and some of the things offered here because, and really, you're the one who's gotten me involved in going to events because when you first came, you talked about making UMW athletics, make this your home team. And a lot of us don't have any problem going down to Richmond or VCU or UVA or making the long drive to Blacksburg to an athletic event. There's some good stuff happening right here in Fredericksburg.
Well, there absolutely is, Ted. I appreciate you saying that, and you're exactly right. We want Fredericksburg to think of the University of Mary Washington as their hometown team, and I think we've made real progress over the past 5 years or so in making that a reality. And you know, the best part, and maybe the easiest part, is that we've got a great product. We've got outstanding student athletes, a good handful of whom, by the way, are local. Mm-hmm. You know, the two leading scorers on our basketball teams this year were both from Stafford. So, you know, you might see some local kids when you come out and watch us. Almost all of our events are free. You can get up close and personal, and we play at a very high level. And, you know, I'm always bolstered when people do come to campus for the first time. They do watch an event for the first time, and they say, man, I had no idea. No idea you had such amazing facilities. No idea that your student athletes were so talented and so committed, and it was such a high level. And I said, well, yeah, exactly. And tell a friend and come back. So we're rocking and rolling as always, and appreciate the chance to be with you here this morning.
We're gonna get into all that because one of the things, especially with the spring, all the spring sports are free, and the baseball stadium is second to none. Yeah. Especially on a nice spring day, just go out and watch some baseball. We'll get into all that. I do have to talk to you about though first a little bit of a painful subject. William and Mary basketball, because I follow it because of you, and
the
fact that they're one of the Citadel Army and what St. Francis
of New York and William and Mary, we call it the Fateful Four or whatever you want to call it, who have never made the NCAA basketball tournament. They are original members of of NCAA since the tournament has started in 1939, and to have never made the big dance. And it's obviously a dubious distinction. William and Mary is such a terrific place. I'm so proud to be a graduate of William and Mary and so proud to have played basketball there. Been a lot of great accomplishments for the basketball program, but that one is still elusive. And what you're leading into, I think, is that the Tribe had another heartbreaking loss last night in the conference tournament, falling in the semifinals down in Charleston, South Carolina. So we will live to fight another day, another year, and we will get off of that dubious list sometime soon, I have no doubt. But thank you for bringing it up. I'm not sure if I thank you.
Every year I pull them for them just for you. And I know of a few other William & Mary alumnus who just, like you, every year just hang on. And even I was torn because we had scheduled you to come in. And had they won today, you were going to go down to Charleston. And I thought, I would gladly reschedule this just for you to get this championship.
Well, you're very kind, and obviously, you know, those of us that are part of that that group of former Tribe basketball players, it means so much to us. And just to bring it full circle, Tony Shaver is the head basketball coach at William & Mary. He's a terrific, terrific coach and an even better person. And he was actually my high school coach. So,
wow.
You know, all of these connections are so real and so alive for me. You know, Coach Shaver has been in my life since I was 15 years old. Now, I played for Barry Parkhill, the great player from the University of Virginia at William & Mary. But Coach Shaver is now, I think, in his 12th year as a head coach at William & Mary after a long, successful run at Hampton-Sydney College. So, you know, I've been able to stay connected very much so with Coach Shaver being there. And yeah, you're right. I had tentative plans to hop on a plane early this morning and head down to Charleston had they won, because me and a core group of my old teammates, we've sort of got an unwritten pact that, you know, when they win that conference championship and go to the big dance, we're going to be there celebrating for sure.
Yeah, well, I can't wait for that to happen and to talk to you after that happens. This time of year, with March Madness is just a great thing, and especially the next couple of weeks, or this week with the conference tournament. There were conference tournaments started last week. You also, I mean, it was a few weeks ago, but the conference that Mary Washington is in, you all won some tournament games. And it's exciting whether you're playing in the big dance with Division I, or if you're in Division III. It's no matter what level, the quality of play is terrific. And I've been to games over at Rosner Arena there that have just been as exciting as anything you'll see on TV.
No doubt. And yeah, this is an exciting time of year. Everybody's kind of a basketball fan in March, right? And soon everybody, Sunday, I believe, the brackets are announced for the Division I tournament. The Division III tournament is actually up and running. Division III runs about 2 weeks ahead of the Division I tournament, and I'm actually privileged to be on the National Division III Men's Basketball Committee and be a part of selecting the field and bracketing the teams. And I spent last weekend was the opening rounds of the Division III tournament. I spent last weekend as an NCAA site representative down at Christopher Newport University. Of course, we know them very well. They're our arch rival, and they hosted a pod, and four teams there, really, really high level. And Christopher Newport lost in the second round to a very talented Franklin and Marshall team from Pennsylvania. But yeah, this week, championship week, with the Division I tournaments going on, and then the selection on Sunday, and then it'll get started. The tournament gets started next week, and by the end of next week, Division III will be into its Final Four, which is actually held right here in Virginia, in Salem, Roanoke. It's had a long run there in Salem, and I'll be down there pretty much that whole week administering the championship with our committee, and look forward to just a great celebration of basketball all across the country, but more so at our level, at the Division III level, a celebration of the student athletes who are doing it without scholarships, doing it for the love of the game, but still competing, as you say, at a very high level. And, you know, just to finish the thought, we are coming out of basketball season, transitioning into the spring, and we had another very successful basketball year. Our men's team was knocking on the door all year long in terms of an NCAA berth. We won 19 games, went 19-8, a really, really good year.
That's a big turnaround.
And you know, continue the upward progression of where we're going under Coach Kahn. And we got virtually everybody back. Now, unfortunately, the one player we do lose is arguably our best player, and Eric Shaw from Stafford. Mm-hmm. Just a terrific player and a terrific young man. But everybody else is back, so the future's very bright. And our women's team had a year. You know, it's funny. We have established such sustained excellence with our women's program of 20-plus wins almost every year. NCAA tournaments the last 2 years. We were a little bit down this year. Offense was a struggle all year long. We finished 14-13. There's a lot of schools, though, that would love to be 14-13 in a, quote, down year. And that speaks to the culture and the expectations that Coach Dina Appleberry has established there. And they've got a really good nucleus of players returning and some exciting new freshmen that are going to be coming in. So I think the future is very bright for both of our basketball programs at Mary Washington.
But you talk about rivalries, whether, you know, Virginia Tech or UNC and Duke. UMW and Christopher Newport have a really good rivalry, and there have been just really some classic basketball games played in both Newport News and up here in Fredericksburg the last couple of years.
They really have, and we've had a tremendous crowds for all of those games and a lot of excitement around them. Our schools are very similar. We're similar in size. We're the only two Division III public institutions in the state of Virginia. We have similar missions. We recruit many of the same kids. They often know each other from high school or AAU days and really in all of our sports. Yeah. It's always a little bit extra special when we go up against Christopher Newport. So it's always a lot of fun.
UMW Athletic Director Ken Tyler here this morning. More coming up. We're going to talk about college athletics in Division III and get into what's been happening on campus and what to look for this spring when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
University of Mary Washington Athletic Director Ken Tyler in with us this morning as we talk UMW sports. When you talk college athletics, unfortunately these days, Ken, what's happening with the NCAA, with Division I and with the FBI and wiretaps, it's not a good look.
No, it's been a really challenging maybe couple of years for the NCAA, and this FBI probe into Division I college basketball has kind of been the icing on the cake, and it's caused a lot of alarm, a lot of concern, and I think many people to cast a critical eye at the NCAA and wonder, you know, what's going to be the future, what we're going to look like. And it sort of has caused a lot of spinoff type of topics to come up, like should athletes be paid in college? What is the true notion of amateurism, which the NCAA hangs its hat on?
Yeah.
What is the value of education? By the way, in all of this. And, you know, but when we have things like this FBI probe going on, we have things like arguably the biggest academic fraud case in NCAA history at the University of North Carolina, which is a great school, but the NCAA ultimately says we're powerless to do anything. Mm-hmm. I think we're at a point in time where some real change needs to happen. And all at the same time, the money at that high Division I level, the FBS level, the Power Five level, those 65 or so schools that really garner the most attention, keeps pouring in. The TV contracts for Big Ten and ACC schools alone are larger than the entire budget for Division III. You know, that's hard for us to wrap our head around,
yeah,
especially when Division III is the largest of the three divisions. You know, there's 100 more schools in Division III than there are in Division I. There's 10,000 more student athletes. And you certainly could make an argument that Division III, with no scholarships, with an emphasis on education first, with an emphasis on integration into the campus life, is the purest form of college athletics and is the way that college athletics is really supposed to be. Now, listen, I'm not naive. I played Division I basketball, not at the Power Five level, but I'm a fan. I know it. I know many of these people that are involved in it, both administrators and coaches. I just think everything's gotten a little bit out of whack. We see coaches and other administrators making millions and millions and millions of dollars, and then you have a student athlete who can't profit off of his or her likeness, who can't negotiate with an agent, who is not guaranteed an opportunity to come back and finish their education if they leave to pursue their degree early, who can't hold down a job, can't, you know, sell T-shirts while they're on scholarship. It's really tough, and I think there's some hard questions that need to be answered. There's a commission that's been put in place by the NCAA, headed by Condoleezza Rice, that's looking at these issues, and I believe their recommendations are supposed to come out maybe the middle of April. So before too long, we're going to start to understand the direction that that the NCAA wants to go. And just the last thing on it, I think a lot of attention is paid to these special basketball players who go to school for 1 year. The Marvin Bagleys at Duke, for mm-hmm. example, you know, who's an unbelievable talent and will be a top three NBA draft pick. How many are those every year? A dozen? Maybe 20 tops?
Yeah.
I think the NCAA has to look at the much bigger picture and focus on all the related issues around amateurism, around educational opportunity, around compensation, and not get distracted by the topic of the day that everybody wants to weigh in on, which is the one and dones, things like that. So it's going to be really interesting to see. But I also think it should hopefully provide us at the Division III level an opportunity to showcase what we're all about. If you're a little bit cynical, a little bit turned off with Division I, big-time college athletics right now, come check us out. I think you'll like what you see. I'm a big fan of the University of Virginia, and their basketball program, as far as I know, does things exactly the right way. Their coach is an outstanding individual, and Tony Bennett. I'm privileged to call the former athletic director, Craig Littlepage, a friend and a mentor, and a class act. My former college coach, Barry Parkhill, is an associate athletic director there. And I'm still a fan of them and will continue to be. But I also want people to know that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of student athletes at the Division III level that are competing for the love of the game, that also are very, very talented, that are integrated into their campus, that are giving service in their communities, and it's really a terrific value proposition. So thanks for letting me weigh in on that a little bit.
No, I had wanted, when that first came out, I knew you were coming in, I wanted to talk and get your opinion on it. And you're right. And we talk about, you know, making UMW your home team, and it is a different just the fact that you can walk up, especially spring and fall, any of the sports, you just walk up, and even if you're a big basketball fan, the cost to go over to Rosner Arena to even get season tickets is not going to
be a good deal.
It's not going to break you.
Yep.
And you know you see athletes in who are playing it at Division III strictly for the love of the game and for the whole camaraderie that you have with a team.
No doubt, and it's inspiring to me every single day. It's the absolute best part of my job is when I get to interact with our student athletes in the weight room or watching them practice and obviously watching them compete and being in the locker rooms after a big win and sometimes after a tough loss and seeing the level of commitment that they have to their sport, to each other, and to the University of Mary Washington is truly inspiring and really why we do what we do. Not saying that doesn't happen at the Division I level, it certainly does. But we have it, as you say, Ted, right here in your hometown, right here where you can walk up and be up close and personal and get to know these young men and women and be, I think be equally inspired by them. It's a terrific, terrific opportunity.
And the facilities here are second to none. I've been around and seen some and even seen some universities at Division III who are bigger than Mary Washington who don't have anything even coming close or maybe have a piece that have one thing that's nice. They might have a nice track or right. Might have a nice field house. You've got the package here.
We really are blessed with some outstanding facilities, both for our student athletes to practice and compete on and for our spectators and our supporters to come and watch. From our indoor facilities, our Rod Rosner Arena, which is among the finest small college basketball and volleyball venues in the country, to our incredible outdoor complex at the Battleground, anchored on one end by top-notch tennis facilities, both inside and out, such so that we host national-level tournaments all the time, anchored in the middle with our beautiful brand-new blue and gray, UMW blue and gray track and field complex. Mm-hmm. And then on the far end, with Dickinson Stadium, our baseball stadium, which we actually have done a good bit of refurbishing on too, and really given it a fresh new look, and we're really, really excited about that. I will say the windstorm last week challenged our facilities crew a bit with our wind screens that we had up and our fencing. So we're scrambling like a lot of places to get everything back in place before we resume a lot of home contests next week because we're on spring break right now.
I wanted to come out because I know you had a doubleheader, I think, on Saturday scheduled. You just had one baseball game scheduled. How that went with the wind. I wanted to go out and it wasn't going to work out for me, but I thought this would be really interesting and a challenge for the pitchers and the outfielders.
Yeah, it was tricky, right, to hit the ball, to catch the ball, all the above. I'm glad to say that we managed the challenge a little bit better, and we end up winning a single game 11-6. It was a pretty high-scoring game, but we used the home stadium advantage. Maybe we knew the winds a little bit better, and we're able to get that W.
It has to help for recruiting. To have when kids are when a student comes to UMW and looks at if they're a baseball player, no matter what athlete they are, to look at those facilities, it's got to help in attracting students.
There's no doubt about it. Curb appeal is really important, and competing for talented student athletes encompasses lots of different factors. And facilities are a big part of that. And so we're able to be in the ball game competing with just about anyone at our level and even competing with some small Division I and many Division II programs with the facilities that we have. I meet with a fair amount of recruits and their families myself, and they almost always tell us how impressed they are with our facilities. Now, all that being said, that doesn't mean that we still don't have a few needs. You know, our swim program, which we may talk about in a minute, is outstanding, but we need a new pool.
Yeah.
The Gorick pool is almost 50 years old, and, you know, we maintain it as best we can, but it's a challenge. We've got lights on some practice venues, but we don't have lights on any competition venue.
I didn't realize that.
We have lights that are started on the lacrosse field, the turf field right next to our baseball stadium. But they never got finished, and that was begun before I got there. So we're working to try to finish those. And then finally, we've done a lot of things out at the battleground to provide more opportunities for our student-athletes, but we need a locker room complex out there. The Rosner Arena has some beautiful, amazing locker rooms for our basketball and volleyball student-athletes, but we don't have anything comparable for our almost 300 student-athletes who compete in our outdoor sports. Mm-hmm. And so we're working really hard to try to make that a reality sometime here in the next couple of years.
We're talking about ways people can get involved, and there's a gala this spring. We'll talk about that, too, with UMW Athletic Director Ken Tyler, our special guest this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 831.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
University of Mary Washington Athletic Director Ken Tyler is here this morning as we talk UMW sports. Before we get into the into the spring sports, we've talked a little bit about basketball. What about the UMW swim teams, both men's and women's, powerhouses?
Well, dynasties, right? That's the word I like to use. Dynasties, just outstanding programs, really, really set the bar high for our entire department. And we're really, really proud of Coach Abby Breathauer and all the student athletes on both of those teams. But yes, about, 10 days or so ago, the women's swim program won its 28th consecutive Capital Athletic Conference championship. That's right, 28, and the men won their 18th. Not too shabby, but they look shabby compared to the women. But just it really is amazing, an incredible run of success. And you know, this year they kind of had to do it a different way. They had to really do it with their depth They had to do it with a real team concept because we did not have an overwhelming handful of NCAA qualifying swimmers. We have one young man, Jeffrey Leclone, who is qualified for the NCAA championships, and it extends our streak of doing that for a long number of years in a row. But it really was a total team effort, and so I was particularly proud of this group. And, you know, the thing I say to them, I've had the privilege of being down at St. Mary's College in Maryland where they hold that championship the last few years, and, you know, awarding some of the trophies and ribbons. And I every time I say to them, I say it's never taken for granted, and it never gets old. And, you know, they build to that championship every year, and they do a great job of bringing it home. So really, really impressive performance and a true dynasty that we have, and we're really, really proud of it.
You know, Ken, one of the things just that I like about you, and you've always been enthusiastic and been just really, you talk up UMW, but I think that the times that you enjoy the most is when you're interacting with athletes. And I'll see on Twitter of where you'll talk about, you know, you're lifting weights in the mornings with some of the athletes, or just hanging around. Because as athletic director, I'm sure you do a lot of paperwork and probably more than you'd like to. But to be with the students and to be with the Division III students for you, I think, is the real joy.
Well, thanks a lot, Ted, for noticing. And you hit it on the head. A lot of people ask me, you know, what does an athletic director do, or what do you do all day? And I say, well, I go to meetings and I sign my name to forms. You know, that's a joke that I say. But the absolute best part of my job, the absolute best, is when I get to interact with our student athletes. And yeah, I try to start most mornings down in our varsity weight room, getting a workout in, and there's usually a team or two in there. And I'm watching, I'm observing, I'm staying out of the way, and I'm making sure I'm not hurting myself as I try to keep up with a lacrosse player or baseball player, or sometimes a women's basketball player. But it's just terrific opportunity for me to get to know the student athletes on a more informal basis, and then just stopping them in the hall, asking them how it's going, getting to know their stories a little bit. I try really hard to get to know the names and the stories of our student athletes, and it's really gratifying to me when I will go maybe to a practice or a competition, and I'll have a student athlete or two come up to me afterwards and say, hey, Coach Tyler, thanks for coming. That means a lot. We really appreciate that you were there. Mm-hmm. And I think at my core, I hope, even though I'm an old guy now, I'll always be an athlete. I always consider myself a student athlete and a coach. And I'm really proud of the time that I spent as a coach. And most of the people in the Department of Athletics call me Coach Tyler. Excuse me, and I wear that as a badge of honor.
Yeah.
And I like to think that I take my experiences as a student athlete and as a coach, and they make me more effective as a director of athletics. So we gave all of our staff members this year a picture, a framed photograph of one of their student athletes in action with nothing but the words, "This is why," printed on it. And each of them now has it hanging in their office. And it's a daily reminder of why we do what we do. It's pretty simple. It seems pretty obvious, but sometimes when you get caught up in all of the challenges and paperwork and stresses that we have, we can lose sight of it. So that gives us an opportunity to recenter. And I'm very fortunate because I have a collage. I've got all of our teams and a great collage of our student athletes represented on my picture that's hanging on my wall right in front of my desk. And I can look up at it all the time and reminds me why I got in this profession some 30 years ago and why I'm privileged to do what I do every single day.
It is a fantastic thing, because I'm sure, because it does get blurred at times, because we talked about it, and we'll talk about some of the you obviously have to do a lot of fundraising, and even though I look at everything as a whole, and you mentioned just a few minutes ago just some of the needs that persist. Yep. The facility needs.
Yes, I mean, a lot of what we have to do is we're running a business, and it's really almost a mid-sized business. Our budget is just under $5 million, and we raise and generate about 20% of that, by the way. And we've got about 75 people in our department, about half of whom are full-time and the other half are part-time, and about almost 600 student-athletes. So it's a pretty big operation.
Yeah.
And as you might imagine, personnel and budgets and facilities, they do take up a lot of your time. That's part of our reality. I've got a great staff that does terrific work every day. They allow me to focus on what I do best, and they take care of a lot of the day-to-day stuff. But I also want to make sure that I'm very much have my finger on the pulse of what's going on a day-to-day basis. And I want to empower and delegate as appropriate, but I also want to make sure that everything that we do is designed to serve the best interest of our student athletes and the University of Mary Washington.
This is a good segue into to March 20th, coming up in a couple of weeks. Will be Giving Day. I remember that from last year, and that's an opportunity for those of us in the community to get involved with a UMW.
It's our second annual Giving Day, and this is a university-wide initiative coordinated by our Office of Advancement, but our Department of Athletics is one of the leading entities involved in Giving Day. And it's a terrific opportunity for people to get involved and to learn more about what it is that we have going on. You can check it out at umweagles.com or follow it on Twitter or Instagram at UMW Athletics. And you can donate to any part of the university that may be meaningful to you. And within the athletic department, you can give to the athletic department as a whole or to a specific sport. And your gift, whether large or small, will make a significant impact. And last year in this one day, we raised almost $40,000 for the Department of Athletics. And this year, we certainly hope to almost double that. And more so, in addition to the funds that we raise, we hope to create a larger army of supporters and people who are networking on behalf of UMW Athletics and can go out and spread the word and tell our story. And so Giving Day, March 20th, 24 hours, opportunity to support your hometown team, for friends and family to support the program that's meaningful to them. So I hope that everyone that has any sort of interest in or connection to the University of Mary Washington will check it out and try to do something.
That's a good point, because I know I had a couple of my kids played collegiate sports, and I feel every year to give something to that program. Just they're not there anymore, but you feel that. And if you've had a student who's played athletics, think about that.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we really believe that there's true value in the experiences that these student athletes are receiving. And but that value proposition does require resources, and whether it's facilities or both of our tennis teams right now are out in California. This is a spring break trip that they mm-hmm. do every year. They go out, they play some high level competition. Beautiful weather.
That's great experience.
But they also are doing all kinds of cultural activities. Team bonding. Mm-hmm. They're traveling to a part of the country that most of them have never been to. And yes, you said it. It's a great experience and a great opportunity for these student athletes that would not be possible without the support of friends, family, and alumni supporting those programs.
So on Giving Day, you can give through umweagles.com or the university website. That's the best way to do it?
All the above. Giving Day will be prominently displayed, I promise you, on umweagles.com or umw.edu. You can also follow it on Twitter at UMW Athletics or at UMWAD, which is me. And of course, all of our sport teams have their own Twitter and Instagram,
yeah.
And you can catch it on there as well for the team that or the area that might be most meaningful to you.
You should follow you on Twitter if you want to follow things. You have a fascinating Twitter account, because that's where I find out when you're lifting weights and what you're doing earlier in the morning. If I remember right, last year for Giving Day, Philip Pierce, who works for you, he was dressed up as an eagle running around campus. I've got pictures somewhere of that.
Yeah, Philip might not want those to be publicized, but Philip Pierce, a local guy who does a great job for us,
running our
development arm in the Department of Athletics. Yeah, he is the guy who is overseeing Giving Day for us, and he is nothing if not enthusiastic and willing to do whatever is necessary for the cause. So donning an eagle costume is certainly something right up his alley. He might have a surprise in store for this year, Ted, but I can't tell you what that's going
to
be.
I'll have to find out and roam around campus and do some investigative work and find out.
There you go.
Again, it's March 20th, Giving Day at UMW. Think about it. UMW Athletic Director Ken Tyler here. When we come back, we'll wrap it up by talking about the spring sports, and we'll touch on the gala that comes up in May. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Ken Tyler here, the athletic director for the University of Mary Washington. Before we get out of here, we've gotten off on a lot of, I could sit and talk to you for hours just about
tangents. We got
just about sports in general,
yeah.
and fundraising and different things. But there are a lot of exciting things going on in the spring. And the thing to mention up front, and the thing you can't mention enough, is all of the spring sports, I can drive over and walk up and I'm there, and especially with baseball, I've done that a number of times, and that's a great experience here at Dickinson Stadium.
Yeah, so as we mentioned a little bit ago, our Battleground Athletic Complex, which is off of Hanover Street, right there in Fredericksburg, downtown Fredericksburg, is a beautiful complex where all of our spring sports compete, and all of those events are absolutely free. You can get up close and personal to the action. If you want to bring a youth team or a club team or a school team, all you have to do is give us a call or shoot us an email, and we can make arrangements for our team, our student athletes, to come say hello, take some photos with your team after the game. We do that kind of thing all the time. But, you know, baseball, softball, men's lacrosse, women's lacrosse, men's tennis, women's tennis, and right in the middle are track and field and rugby. So on any given Wednesday or Saturday, or sometimes even a few other days in between, there's all kinds of action going on out at the Battleground. So far this spring, we're off to a great start. Our women's lacrosse program is undefeated, 5-0, and ranked 7th in the country. They are really, really exciting, really talented, and a great group of student athletes to watch. Our men's lacrosse team is 4-1. They're on a 4-game winning streak, and they have a huge game tomorrow, actually, at home against Washington and Lee at 3:30. So we're excited for that. Baseball has also won, I think, 3 in a row. They're off to a really good start, and as you said, handled the wins over the weekend. They're away for a couple games this week, but then back home for a set against St. Joseph's from Indiana, I think, over the weekend, Friday and Sunday. Softball's down in Myrtle Beach for spring break right now, but they come back home and get going again after they get back. And both of our tennis teams are ranked in the top 25 in the country, and both are undefeated so far. And as we mentioned a second ago, they're out in California competing in some great competition and having a lot of fun out there. You know, so right now we've got men's tennis, women's tennis, and women's lacrosse all ranked in the top 25 in the country. And our men's lacrosse program is actually among those receiving votes. When we built our new track complex opened it last year, we did so with an understanding, a commitment that we would begin hosting more meets at the Battleground. And this year we'll be hosting 3 big meets this spring at the Battleground Complex. So I encourage people to come out and check out some high-level track and field competition. And I should also mention our 2 newest sports, men's and women's golf. You know, we don't have a course at the on campus at Mary Washington. That would certainly be nice. But they play up at Augustine in Stafford County. And our men's golf team is in their second year, and our women's golf team is in its first year of competition. And they're both off and running and doing a great job. And then right in the middle of the battleground, right in front of the track complex, is our rugby field. And I know rugby, both our men's and women's program, has a great following here in the local community. And just about every Saturday, one or the other or both of those teams are playing. So, you know, every weekend I see in the local newspaper things to do in the Fredericksburg area, and we need to do a better job of getting some of our things in there. But certainly we want people to know that if you're looking for a great way to spend, particularly a Saturday afternoon, particularly if you've got kids that like sports, coming out to Mary Washington and watching us play is a great way to do it.
We're almost out of time, Ken, and we're going to get you back in early May to talk about it. But in May, there's the opportunity. Every year you have a big gala, and you got one this year.
Yeah, this will be our fifth annual gala, and it's really evolved into a special evening. You know, it's a memorable evening for a really terrific cause, supporting our student-athletes. It's a way that we connect with our community. It's a way that we tell the story of our alumni and the tradition of Mary Washington Athletics and celebrate the entire university and raise some important resources to support our program. It's an auction. It's a first-class dinner. It's an open bar. It is a keynote speaker. It's a chance to interact with some of our student-athletes, usually our seniors who have wrapped up their careers at Mary Washington. And so this year it is on May the 17th. That's a Thursday evening. And in the next couple of weeks, we'll be posting and releasing details on who our keynote will be, how to purchase tickets, sponsorship opportunities, and the like. So it's really, really a good time, a lot of fun. And as I said a minute ago, you'll be supporting a really, really terrific cause.
Gala is May 17th. We'll do a show on that. March 20th, just a couple weeks from now, March 20th, Giving Day at UMW. Ken Tyler, always great to have you here. We'll have you back, and we'll talk about the gala a little bit more in coming weeks.
Well, Ted, you know what I like to say. It's a great day to be an Eagle, and with you allowing me to start it out here with you, it certainly was. So thanks very much.
UMW Athletic Director Ken Tyler
thanks
on Town
for
Talk.
Listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.